Thank you. Welcome to everyone who's here to the 9th annual investor presentation. So if you just go onto the welcome page, Victoria. Well, actually, that's an important point. Yes, can I direct your attention to anybody who is attending this meeting or is reviewing this after the event with the associated audio recording? I direct your notice to the important notice and disclaimer. I'd be grateful if you could read that before you read the rest of the presentation. Thank you. So if you know, next page. Okay, that's the contents which we'll be dealing with. So if we go on to the next page. Okay, this is the agenda for today. We're going to have a number of we're going to go over the major events that have happened during the year, which have effectively been reflected in the last investor report. Should you have any questions, then please raise your hand virtually through Teams, and if you're attending by telephone, then we can do that at the end. Otherwise, we will take any Q&A at the end as well. So if you go on next page. Okay, so as I mentioned, this is the 9th annual investor presentation. We have with us today a number of people, Daniel Perez and George Tasker, who are directors of the company and represent the equity investors in the project, being various Dalmore managed funds. We also have the OFTO technical director, Mike Edgar. There's myself, the director of finance, Steve Noonan, and the OFTO finance manager from IML, which is Fiona Donnelly. We also have a few other people with us today as well. We've not mentioned on the slide. There's Myrig Williams, who's the general manager for the OFTO, Carl Johnson, who's an asset manager, and Victoria Goodwin, who is our administrator. Mike will provide the voiceover on operational matters and the outlook, and I will deal mainly with the finance matters, and other colleagues will be available for questions should there be anyone asking those at the end. As noted on this slide, this presentation uses various industry acronyms and other abbreviations, and these are defined in the appendix to the slide deck that you can consult as necessary. So if I pass you to Mike, who's going to just deal with some of the background to the project, and then I will take over midway.
Okay, thanks, Steve. So good morning. So just a little bit of background to the WADS Transmission PLC asset that we're talking about here today. So first of all, the generator owned west of Duden Sands wind farm comprises of 108 wind turbines with a total installed generation capacity of 389 megawatts. And that provides clean renewable energy to approximately 350,000 homes in the UK per year. It's located in the Irish Sea, approximately 12 kilometres off the Walney Island up in Cumbria. And the WADS transmission assets comprise an offshore substation with cables that take the power from the wind farm to shore for onward transmission to UK consumers. And obviously the principal aim of the wind farm and the WADS transmission PLC offshore assets is to facilitate renewable energy, and as such is aligned with net zero goals. And in fact, the majority of the energy consumed by the WADS transmission assets during its activities is actually drawn from the wind farm itself. So it's virtually all renewable energy driven. So that's the background to the asset. Steve?
Yeah, okay. So thanks, Mike. So as you will probably aware, WADS Transmission purchased the transmission assets in 2015 and operates under a perpetual offshore transmission license issued by the authority, which has a 20-year revenue term. As I mentioned earlier, WADS is a special purpose vehicle with the equitable interest vested in funds managed by Dalmore, and Frontier Power provides the management services to the project. So if you move to the next slide. The shareholders, as I mentioned, are effectively managing on behalf of the shareholders' interests is Dalmore Capital, who I'm sure you'll be familiar with. And at the end of July, they had over 5.7 billion of assets under management. Frontier Power, who I represent, are engaged to provide management services, have a wealth of experience in the utility sector generally, and electricity transmission in particular, and we provide services to other OFTOs. IML provide financial administrative services to the project and are experts in the provision of these and other management services to the PPP, PFI sector and OFTOs as well. So now we'll just go talk about the operational performance. I'm going to hand back to Mike, who will tell us more about that.
Thank you. So first of all, I'd just like to explain the progress we've made with health, safety and environment this year. So the O&M contractor continues to deliver health, safety and environmental management for the offshore transmission assets that WADS owns. And this year, I'm pleased to report it's been an excellent health HSE performance. But it's important to say that we're not complacent with this. And as part of the ongoing pursuit of excellence with HSE, there's a number of exercises, and I'm pleased to say a successful emergency drill was performed in July, which involved a simulation of evacuating a casualty and involved vessels and lowering the casualty down from a platform. And I'm pleased to say that there was a number of learning points, but it all went very well. In the similar sort of vein, WADS did discharge all its obligations that it's required to undertake under the marine license. And then when we move on to the operational performance of the assets themselves, availability has been good and high. I think you'll see there that there have been three incidents where some short-term outages did occur following the failure of some auxiliary equipment. So I'll just run through each of those now. So we had a short outage in January on circuit one, and similarly a short outage on circuit two, both actually experiencing filter problems, which are used to maintain the quality of supply coming from the wind farm itself. But these were relatively short duration and just impacted the availability by to half the wind farm for 20 hours over that period of time. We then had a further outage to do some short-term maintenance on circuit two in April. And again, that was a short outage of 6 hours and 16 minutes. And then rather latterly, in between issuing the investment report and this presentation, we also had a short outage the back end of July. And this followed a failure of another auxiliary piece of equipment, which tripped one of the two circuits. But it was, after everything was checked, it was reinstated after 8 hours and 50 minutes. There are no further planned outages for the remainder of 2024. But we do have a scheduled maintenance for spring 2025, which will be approximately 4 to 5 days for one of the two circuits. So, wrapping all that together, the forecast availability performance for the end of this year is calculated on the basis that we submit to the authority, and taking all the outages into account, we are scheduled to have an expected availability of 99.82% this year, which maintains a high availability that we've enjoyed thus far with this asset. So if you could just flip on to the next page, please. Thank you. And I think it's important to just say that there's a number of mitigation strategies that we deploy, one of which is a preemptive marine license, which allows us to expedite repairs should we need to. And I'm pleased to say that that is still in place and we are meeting the requirements to ensure that that's maintained. Another key aspect of the operational activities is to ensure the good health of the export cables that run from the offshore platform to shore, ensure that the integrity of those, the cables and the sand coverage is satisfactory. So we undertook a bathymetric survey in 2023, and the data has then been analysed and an interpretive report issued. And I'm pleased to say that the situation remains stable with the cable coverage. So much so that we intend to do a further survey in 2026 to monitor the situation and understand if there's any further changes. You'll also be aware from previous reports that we did undertake a cable protection rock system stabilisation in tandem with the generator and their array cables. Although there weren't any particular issues with the WADS export cables, we felt it was prudent to take advantage of the synergies with the generator and get that work done to really keep the risks of any asset issues to an absolute minimum. I think that's that page. So if you could just flip on to the next one, thank you. So this is very much just looking at a more of a historical aspect with the exceptional claims that we've previously submitted. So there's two that we have outstanding, one of which was as a result of an outage in July 2021. You'll know from previous reports that we've explained the circumstances behind that. Essentially, there was a third party fault from National Grid Electricity Transmission that resulted in our equipment tripping to maintain a safe situation. But as a result of that, there were some unusual responses from our equipment that we've now satisfactorily understood and submitted an exceptional event report to the regulator, who is still considering that. So we do remain very confident that this is a credible claim, and the reason for the delay is the authority is struggling to process a number of claims from other parties. So we do estimate that the value of this exceptional event claim is about £500,000 pounds. So it's, it's important that we do close this out, but we do remain confident that is a credible claim. We also reported in the June 2024 investor report that we had an unplanned outage that occurred between 7th May and 25th of May, and this related to a faulty voltage transformer. We have looked at this carefully, and we don't believe it meets the conditions of the authority, that the authority would accept as an exceptional event, and therefore we aren't intending to pursue that any further. So just the cumulative reported availability then through to the 31st of July, since asset transfer has been a very good 99.5%. And this does assume no exceptional event relief as from the events that I've described above. If those were to be accepted as we anticipate, the availability would go up to 99.60. So overall, a good availability performance. And so just really looking into the year since we last presented to you, up to the 31st of July, that's a 99.7, or if you assume the exceptional event relief, 99.82 percent availability. So moving on to our relationships with the key stakeholders, we maintain good relationships with the authority, the system operator, the NGESO, and the financial security trustee who represents many of you here today, and indeed the O&M contractor that performs the majority of the activities on the actual asset. So that remains or concludes the O&M update. So over to you, Steve.
Okay, yes, so financial performance highlights are pretty self-explanatory and nothing of any great significance. As at the end of June, as previously reported in the investor report, senior bonds outstanding of 170,113,000. But that reflects a reduction of the principal repayment of 5.4 million, which was made on the 1st of July. RPI swaps are in place for 75% of the revenue, and the PBCE letter of credit, which represents in the amount of 15% of the bond principal, is still unused but available to the company. The key ratios in the table are shown on this slide are healthy in excess of the lockup levels. Just dealing with the revenue being collected during the current financial year that we're in now, 24-25, we're collecting just over 30 million, 30.3 million, and that is being settled by National Grid Electricity System Operator in accordance with standard industry conditions. Transmission revenue for 24-25 was adversely impacted by the outage associated with the voltage transformer that Mike has described, for which we do not believe there's sufficient evidence to pursue an exceptional event claim. Operating costs to the end of June this year are lower than budget, primarily because of changes in expectations regarding the timing of maintenance activity. In particular, the expected voltage transformer replacement is now scheduled to take place in the spring of 2025, and whereas the budget was set with a different expectation. All our payments to key contractors continue to be made in accordance with the payment terms. All our key financial deliverables have been met, including the filing of regulatory accounts for the year ended 31st of March 2024 with the authority. We confirm there's been no event of default. Cumulative debt service for the period from financial close through to the end of June was 150.9 million, which also includes the partial repayment, which was made on the 1st of July. And as mentioned, the PBCE remains undrawn, and therefore the letter of credit stands at 25.5 million as at the 30th of June. Right, so no surprises. So I'll pass on to Mike then for the outlook and the priorities for the next 12 months.
Thanks. Okay. So not surprisingly, top of the list there is to maintain a focus on health, safety and environmental goals during this and indeed future years. We also obviously want to maintain high availability performance as we've done thus far. And as you know, in support of that, and I suppose as a goal in its own right, continue to apply good industry practice in maintaining the assets and working with our O&M contractor in delivering those. We obviously are going to be progressing with the exceptional event claim that's outstanding, and if need be, any future thing that emerges in that department. So the other sort of key areas really are to prepare a decommissioning program review, which is targeted for completion and submission to the government department by August 2025. So we are now well on the way with that, and we don't really anticipate any issues as we move towards that time frame. The final aspect is the potential extension of the OFTO asset beyond the current 20 years of the concession. And this is largely a decision for the generator in terms of do they want to maintain operational generation, which, you know, I think there's a fair expectation that will occur. So there's regulatory discussions about how that is best achieved and what the OFTO, as Wads is, needs to do to ensure that appropriate maintenance is undertaken and a new revenue stream is negotiated. But that process is still under discussion, although it is starting to mature. There isn't quite a landing on it at the moment, but we are keeping a close eye on that to ensure that Wads is in the best possible place to take advantage of it. So those are the key matters for the next or the coming year. So we can move on to questions to see if there are any. Steve, if you'd like to just pick up the chair of this.
Well, as there are currently no external participants in the call at this stage, I think we will obviously not have any questions. I'll just draw the attention to the appendix again, which will show you some of the acronyms used in the industry and in this particular presentation. Right, so I believe that we've now completed the presentation, which will be available. We will publish it online together with an audio recording of this session. So for those of you who may access it at a later point, then this is information that may be of some interest to you. Thank you very much. So we can stop the recording now, Victoria.